Thank you all so much. Praise the Lord. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. We're talking about God and money and how much God has put in His Word about how we relate to money, how we handle money, how it's affected to our heart, and that we, I hope you've seen by now, we cannot have a simplistic view about money. Because the Bible has such a broad amount of teaching for us. And if we miss out on some of it, it's going to hurt and hinder us. And so we've seen that God is a Father who provides. He's a good Father, and He cares, and He knows, and He provides as we put our hand to something, as we work. He provides as we are generous. And then we've been seeing the last couple of weeks some pretty significant warnings about covetousness, about mammon, this horrible worldly view of that's trying to unseat God in your life and in your heart where it comes to money. So there are things where we trust God. There's some things that we need to put off. And this morning we're going to look at an aspect of His Word. And this is more of the put on. This is a strategy that He has of how God has linked money to wisdom. Money with wisdom. And this is an interesting one because some of the things we're going to see from His Word today, you don't have to be saved to do it. All right? Now, I think it'll help you to be saved to do it because you'll have grace, you'll have His help. But there are people in the world who don't know Jesus, people who are in other religions, who operate in some of these principles, sadly, more so than Christians at times. And we see that they reap the positive consequences that God says in His Word. All right. So Proverbs chapter 8, this is a wonderful chapter where wisdom is personified as a lady. Okay, don't worry about it, guys. Okay, because one of the things that wisdom personified as a lady here, she's being contrasted with the harlot lady who is brazen and is against God. All right, so the author of Proverbs uses these two analogies because in one way we know some brazen, not so nice ladies, and we've also met some very wise ladies. So he's using some examples that probably hit home for us. All right, Proverbs 8, verse 10. So this is wisdom. This is Lady Wisdom speaking in the first person. Choose my instruction rather than silver, and knowledge rather than pure gold. Wisdom is far more valuable than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with it. I, wisdom, live together with good judgment. Maybe that's her sister. All right. I know where to discover knowledge and discernment. All who fear the Lord hate evil. Therefore, I hate pride and arrogance, corruption and perverse speech. Common sense and success belong to me. Insight and strength are mine. Because of me, kings reign. Rulers make just decrees. Rulers lead with my help, and nobles make righteous judgments. I love all who love me. Those who search will surely find me. Meaning you have to search. Listen to verse 18. I have riches and honor, as well as enduring wealth and justice. So it sounds like there's a distinguishment between wealth and enduring wealth, and it comes with justice. My gifts are better than gold, even the purest gold. My wages better than sterling silver. I walk in righteousness in paths of justice. Those who love me inherit wealth. I will fill their treasuries. So, many, many people who have a money problem, and there is a money problem, What's at the root of their money problem is a wisdom problem. There's a deficiency of wisdom. And maybe they're battling against covetousness, and they're battling against that mammon horrible mindset. But yet, the strategies that they've put in when it comes to earning money, saving money, investing money, giving money, the four ways we can use money, they are not rooted in biblical wisdom. But here's the wonderful thing is we can apply wisdom today. We can get more tomorrow. All right? Wisdom is available for you and I as the believer. Proverbs 24 says this, a house is built by wisdom and becomes strong through good sense. Through knowledge, its rooms are filled with all sorts of precious riches and valuables. Now, we could apply that. That would be how you build an organization. That's how you would build a family, the house of your family, wisdom, good sense, knowledge, these types of things. And that would all be true. But notice what this proverb says. It talks about this is how you build a house. How many of you know you have to know what you're doing to build a house before you build it? Okay. I remember in high school, we had to give speeches on things that we knew, and I probably gave it on sports statistics. Well, there was a guy in my class named Curtis. He had worked with his dad, who was a home builder his whole life. And I remember him getting up, and he was 16 years old, and he described from start to finish how to build a house. And I'm like, wow, I am really dumb. I mean, this is, he at 16 years old, he could do it without his dad. All right, well, he learned it from his dad, but there was an incredible amount of forethought and thinking and foundation and all the different things that had to be done. Now, we see the finished product of a house, but how did it get built? With wisdom, with knowledge, with good sense, all right? And so God has this for us. Now, the wisdom that we want for our finances, we do have to understand that we don't want the world's cheap version of wisdom. Because they will tell you, they'll give you the wisdom of cutting corners. They'll give you the wisdom of not declaring to certain people and this and that and you know, street smarts, right? Well, if it's illegal, it's not street smarts, it's illegal. All right, so notice in James chapter 3, verse 13, it says, who is wise and understanding among you? That's a good question. I would like to be included in those that are, right? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your heart, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. So there's an alternative form of wisdom, it seems like. For where there is envy and self-seeking, where they exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. So that's the kind of wisdom that we need for our finances. Amen? So, again, we may find some wisdom, and I remember years and years ago, I read a book by someone who is a Mormon and is not a follower of Jesus, doesn't believe that he's the Son of God. But the amount of biblical wisdom for leadership and finances was amazing. And actually, he quoted a lot from Proverbs, all right? So there is wisdom in the world, but we have to be discerning, all right? So let's get into some of the wisdom that God wants to have us to have for our finances. All right, most of these are going to come from Proverbs, that it is such a rich source of biblical wisdom. Proverbs 13:11. Wealth from get-rich-quick schemes quickly disappears. Wealth from hard work grows over time. All right, so like many proverbs, there's a contrast. It's poetry. And so the first part is something that is observed and the consequences. The second one is God's way and God's consequences that he wants. All right, so get rich quick schemes. Why do people fall for get rich quick schemes? Many times because they need money quickly. Sometimes you see loans that are advertised, whether it's, you know, at a kiosk or whether it's online or something like this, and they will say, get a quick loan. Get a quick loan. The Miracle Life, a couple times with our building, we've received loans. They were not quick loans. Oh my goodness. You talk about due diligence, questions, forms, financials, and then they want more and more and more and more. All right. So we fall prey to these get rich quick schemes because we're in desperation. And God is telling us it's going to disappear. And many of those schemes, a few months later, a year later, you are actually worse than when you began. What they promise is freedom actually brings more bondage. All right. But notice it says wealth, two things here. Hard work. Notice it doesn't say light work. Everybody say hard work. Hard work. Hard soil. Hard tarmac. Right? There is resistance. And one of the reasons is because we have thorns and thistles. We live in a fallen world. All right? But it takes work. It takes work. And we've looked at that a couple weeks ago. And it says, but from this, from this hard work, it grows over time. Over time. The NIV says it this way. Whoever gathers money little by little makes it grow. Little by little makes it grow. Well, over what? Over time. And so there is a time aspect to money that we must accept. We must embrace. All right. And again, there are people in the world that they have already understood this. People who are planting avocado trees or macadamia nuts or things that do well here in Zambia or mango trees. No one is thinking, I'm going to get rich quick over, you know, in a few months or even one season. Okay? It takes time. There's a time aspect to money that is critical. God said to Noah, he says, you're going to be in a predictable world, and in this predictable world, there's going to be summer and winter, there's going to be seed time and harvest. So it means that it's not always harvest time. And I know we can declare next year your season of harvest, but banners and declarations don't work that way. All right. There's seed time, there's investment, there's work, and then there is the repercussions of it. So again, people in the world that don't necessarily have a relationship with God or relationship with the Bible, they know this, and they're not looking for some kind of heavenly pixie dust to zap them. They just know that this is how money and investments work. And they realize that. Okay? So you have to have wisdom now for the future. Wisdom now doesn't necessarily pay dividends overnight. Wisdom now. Okay? And sometimes, because of a lack of wisdom or operating against God's principles, you've dug a hole. You've made a mess. Okay. Best advice I've ever heard somebody say, if you've dug a hole financially, stop digging. Stop digging. Don't keep doing it over again. All right, so stop, but then there's going to have to be a recovery period over time, over time. So people that are in business understand this. So if it's farming, there is seasons of reaping. And some are within a year, like maize, soya, but some with trees and fruit and those kinds of things, you're talking years of investment, years of cultivation, that it happens over time. Okay? If you want to, you know, grow trees for that they're going to be harvested, years and years of investment. If you say, well, you know, I really want to do a rental home or flats or something, and some of you have done that. It took years to before you ever saw a return. It took years of investment, of getting the land and getting the plans and fighting the builders and getting council approval. And then you get in a tenant and they're crazy. And then you got to get them out and you can't get them out. And, right? And you say, oh, the devil's attacking me. No, it's thorns and thistles. It comes with the territory. And then if you did it again, then you take all that knowledge and wisdom that you got the first time and you used it better the second time. Those of you that have been around Miracle Life, and some of you have participated in our buildings, but the second time we did buildings, oh my, did we have more wisdom than the first time. All right? So much more wisdom. So much more efficient. And we stayed in budget. First time, we did not stay in budget. All right. The devil attacked our budget. No. There was wisdom that we were not operating in. Okay. But wisdom can grow. Wisdom goes higher. All right. So whether it's farming or rental homes, whether it is investing where you have interest. Right now, you know, with government bonds or if it's a stock market here or around the world, it takes prudent wisdom over time where that is going to grow. There might be investing in yourself that you realize I need to upscale my skills. The wisdom, the experience, the degree that I have right now, if I want to go higher, I'm going to have to invest in myself. So you spend money for education. You spend money. And what happens? Hopefully, then it will pay dividends. Does it happen right away? It doesn't happen right away. It happens over time. It happens over time. Okay? So here's just a couple of wisdom principles when it comes to investments is, do you understand it? Do you understand the investment? Well, Pastor, I'm going to use this money and we're going to raise chickens. It's going to be awesome. Do you know anything about chickens? No, my friend did it and it was awesome. And because he grew up on a farm and he really understands chickens. And no, it's going to be awesome, Pastor. Well, I hope so. And maybe you can pull it off. But you better get understanding. You better get common sense before you try it and you lose your money. Do you understand it? All right? Number two, do you have the necessary skill and temperament for it? So I know some folks here at church, they do chickens. They're up in the middle of the night. Well, Pastor, I love my sleep. Well, then don't do that. You're not made for it. Okay? Well, Pastor, you know, I want to build 8 flats and, you know, get in some people. But I tell you what, I just have a heart of mercy, and it's hard for me to confront people. Oh my goodness, please do not have 8 flats. They're going to wipe you out. Right? And maybe you need to do that, but you need to give the money collection to the spouse who has less empathy than you. Number three, is it legal? Is it legal? There's a lot of schemes going on right now, folks, that are illegal. They're illegal. I was with a pastor yesterday at a conference, and their church is looking for land. And he's got some smarts, and he knows what he's doing. But he says, I want to see the original title deeds, and I want to see the owner. Well, no, I'm representing the owner. I want to see the owner. Well, no, I'm his representative. Then I'm not signing anything. Okay, because there are crazy, crooked schemes that are going on. Okay? Is it legal? All right? Is it secretive? Is it only for you? Somebody whispers, there's this opportunity. I'm not telling a lot of people. I'm just telling you because you're my friend. Is it secretive? And I'll tell you what, I need that $50,000 tomorrow. No. If it's God today, it'll be God tomorrow. Okay? And so people put all these kind of funny pressures and things, and people lose. Oh, they lose. One of the things about investments, if it's too good to be true, it probably is. If it's too good to be true, it probably is. Meaning, there's kind of a baseline of what you can expect in that type of an investment or that type of an industry. And investment people will tell you that the higher the expected rate of return, the greater risk. The greater risk, okay? Unless somebody's pushing down on the scales of justice in certain ways, which you don't want to be involved in anyway. All right, now, here's the thing about money and time, because money will grow over time and investment will grow over time. And this is a big thing you're going to see a thread today, is in order for you to have money that's growing, it means you're not eating it today. You have to have discipline. You have to have discipline to have money that is at work that you are not spending. Oh, but Pastor, I want to go to Mauritius. I want to go to Dubai, the Maldives. I don't even know where the Maldives are. I don't even know where they are. I've seen pictures. And there's a side of me that I'm like, ooh, Jesus, yes, Lord, send me, Lord, on a mission to there. All right. I guess it's not cheap, right? Well, so the world will always give you something more to spend your money on. Okay? Do you know there are pubs now in Lusaka where you can spend 20,000 kwacha on one bottle of whiskey? 20,000 kwacha. Wow. Talk about foolish. I mean, talk about idiot. I mean, that's just nuts. Nuts. All right? Well, they're there. Okay? So you're going to have to say no in order to be able to say yes. You can't do the same thing. You can't do two different things with money at the same time. So you're going to have to build up your no muscle. No to yourself. All right? It's helpful if you've got a spouse when you can say no together. All right? Look at Luke chapter 14, wisdom. Here's wisdom and money when it comes to planning, when it comes to budgeting, when it comes to deciding beforehand how I'm going to spend my money. Luke 14, 28. Jesus is talking about the cost to follow him. The cost. And he said, don't get into this without understanding. There is a cost, and you're going to have to, that's where we come get the phrase, count the cost. Count the cost. It's talking about budgeting. And Jesus is using an example of something in the natural that we already know in order to get across a spiritual truth. So we saw that a few weeks ago. How many of you know a father who is, even though he's not born again, but he still provides for his children? He would not give his children a rock or a poisonous snake. I understand that concept in the natural. Well, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? All right, so he's doing the same thing here. Luke 14:28, don't begin until you count the cost. For who would begin construction of a building without first calculating the cost to see if there's enough money? So here, in the time of Jesus, people, when he said, who would do that? People are saying, well, Jesus doesn't live in 2023, because I actually know quite a few people who actually do this. They just start a project, they have no idea how much it's going to cost, and then they run out of money. Well, why'd you do that? Oh, I was optimistic. I thought, well, whatever. No. You figure out what it's going to cost before you start. Amen. Otherwise, so if you don't budget, if you don't plan, otherwise, you might complete only the foundation. You're thinking of your relative right now, right? Or maybe yourself. You're thinking about your plot of that foundation that's been sitting there for 20 years. Otherwise, you might complete only the foundation before running out of money, and then everyone would laugh at you. No, we don't want that, do we? They would say, there's the person who started that building and couldn't afford to finish it. All right? So it's okay to be optimistic towards God, but don't be optimistic about the price of cement. Oh, Pastor, don't we had an all-night prayer meeting, and we're bringing that price down. Yeah. My friend knows a friend who's got a buddy, and we're gonna get. Forget it. You've got to know what stuff costs. You want your kids to go to school? Find out what it costs. You need a vehicle. You need equipment for your business. Whatever it is, find out what it costs. Amen. Find out what it costs. Can I afford to do this? So what's implied in this wisdom that Jesus is talking about is you must have a money plan. You must have a budget. How much money is coming in and where is it going out? How much money is coming in and where is it going out? And then you plan accordingly. It's not, you don't need to be an accountant to do this. I know accountants that don't do this in their personal finances. All right? So, you cannot live on the edge of your money all the time. All right? If you cannot afford it, you can't afford it. Do not commit to it. All right? I believe this principle alone, if you will adopt this in your family, if you'll adopt this in your business, wherever you may have some financial responsibility, it will transform your life fast. Stop spending more than you have. Stop spending more than you have. Stop committing to what you don't have. All right? So, what's coming into your life? What's coming in? Actual. First 10%, where does it go? Goes to God. Honor the Lord with the first fruits of your substance. First 10% goes to God. Most advisors would say the second 10%, save it. Save it where you can't get it. Put it into a 180-day fixed account, meaning when somebody comes knocking or your flesh comes knocking, I can't get it. All right? and then live off of the 80%. Many, many Christians live off of the 130%. They are beyond their income. And you say, Pastor, I kind of like what you're saying, but don't worry. I got something coming. Ooh, next year is my year. Pastor, you didn't understand. Next year is the year of increase. Maybe it is, but here's what I've seen. People who live at 130%, when they get more money, what do? They live at 130%. They don't stop. Live beneath your means all the time. All the time. Every month, every week, don't get to the edge. Don't get to the edge. Do you know in 20 years that my wife and I have been at Miracle Life, Miracle Life has never had a bill that we couldn't pay. Ever. Now, 20 years ago, our budget was tiny. Tiny, small. Tiny staff. All right? When Pastor Newberry left Miracle Life, our receptionist makes more than he'd made when he left. Okay? So things have really changed here. But what hasn't changed is we don't go beyond what we can afford. Are there more needs? Sure. Are there more desires? Yes. But if we can't afford it, we don't do it. Because I don't know about you. Have you ever discovered that life here on planet Earth is stressful? It's extra. All right? My life has a lot of stuff that keeps me occupied. Why do I need to put stress in my life over money when it can be avoided? With just this simple principle. Don't spend more than you have. Don't commit to more than you can afford. There are people, there are Christians who want to bail out a friend, bail out a relative. They feel the pressure. They don't have money. The Christian doesn't have the money. And so they go to a loan shark and borrow money at a ridiculous rate to give to their irresponsible cousin because they live under the fear of man, which is a snare. And their cousin now is smiling. They've got their school fees paid. And now they're trying to make up, how do I pay 30% in a month? And then boom, and then boom, and then I get my car reoccupied. If you can't afford it, just say no. If it's not in your budget, say no. And if you have a problem with this, I don't know how to help you. And neither does God. Okay? Let's go to another proverb. This one is awesome. They're all awesome, but this I just love this one. All right? Because it's a little, it's awesome. It's also a little cheeky. All right. Proverbs 6:6. Go to the ant, you sluggard. That's the title. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways. The female ant. Go figure. All right. Consider her ways and be wise. Which, having no captain, overseer, or ruler, no one's telling it what to do. Here's what this ant does. Provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come upon you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. The ant realizes, I I need this food after the harvest. I need to save this. I need to save this. And I'm going to not eat it today. I'm also not even going to give it away today. I'm going to, and see, here's what savings does. Savings sends money to your future. When you save money, what you're saying is, may my kwacha find me in 2024. Because you've already sent it into the future. You see that? You've already sent it there. It's there. It's waiting. Okay? Basic business. This is called the current ratio. You need more cash than you have liabilities, short-term liabilities. And if you have less cash than short-term liabilities, you're running a bad business. It is doomed. It will fail. All right? Well, but all that cash, I could just... No. You've got cash for the future. You've got cash for the harvest. I mean, for the winter. Okay? It means you can't eat it all today. When you get more money, don't change your lifestyle. You were happy 2 months ago. All right? You don't really need that dress. Husbands, please help me out. Work with me, guys. All right. So this, to be an ant with your money, you need self-discipline. You need to not waste. You need to store. You need to gather. It means there needs to be somewhere. You remember in Malachi, he said, Deuteronomy 28, he says, I'll bless your basket. That's what you're using on a day-to-day. And I'll bless your storehouse. God's blessing will be on your storehouse. If you don't have a storehouse, God can't bless your storehouse. Do you have a separate bank account that you don't touch? I'm not talking about hiding it from your spouse. I'm talking about a bank account, an investment, a plan. Okay?
Oh, Pastor, I don't know what to do. My kids need to go to university.
Okay, God cares. Here's a second thought. How old are your kids before they go to university? 19 years. You had 19 years to plan. And now, they're going to university. Exactly, they're going to university. As soon as that little baby comes out, you better have a plan. You better have a plan. Speaking to somebody here at church, they're married. They don't have kids yet. They are planning for their kids' future today. They are putting investments in place for the future. Don't let an ant outthink you. That's sad, isn't it? All right? Don't let an ant outthink you, outplan you. Hallelujah. This is exactly what God did with Joseph in the Bible. So God brings him to prominence through his faithfulness, through God's plan. And Pharaoh had a dream. Joseph was able to interpret it. 7 years of plenty, fat cows, 7 years of skinny cows, of famine. They didn't pray against the famine. They got ready for the famine. They didn't try to break the curse of famineness. They just got ready. Genesis 33. Now therefore, let Pharaoh select a discerning. This is Joseph talking. Let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this and let him appoint officers over the land to collect one-fifth 20% savings. One-fifth of the produce of the land in Egypt in the seven plentiful years. Oh, we want to have parties in the plentiful years. No. Save it in the plentiful years. And let them gather all the food of those good years that are coming and store up grain under the authority of Pharaoh and let them keep food in the cities. Then that food shall be a reserve for the land in the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land may not be perishing during the famine. So the advice was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, "Can we find such a one as this? A man in whom is the Spirit of God?" Said the heathen, idol-worshipping Pharaoh. He recognized the Spirit of God on Joseph. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and as wise as you. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word." He just became the prime minister. "Only in regard to the throne, I will be greater than you." And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "See, I have set you over the land of Egypt." Not bad for a former prisoner. Okay? And people will say, "I see the Joseph anointing on you." You're going from the pit to the prison to the palace. Well, if you're going to go from the pit to the prison to the palace, it means you have to say no to fornication, first of all. You got to have your sex life sorted out. And then you got to be listening to God. You can't hold bitterness, and you need to forgive people that promise you and don't come through. And then you can't use your position to skim off the top for yourself. Yes, God brought Joseph to where he was, but God had a lot to work with. God had a lot to work with in his character, in his life. Okay? So, you've got to have the discipline to plan for the future. Live below your income. All the time. All the time. Proverbs 26:14. "As a door turns back and forth on its hinges, so the lazy person turns over in bed." Okay, so this is someone who can't control their life. They can't control their urges. They can't control their sleep. And in Proverbs, many times it was linked to sleep and gluttony. Okay? You know, there's some people who are slim, not because they're healthy, they just can't afford another life other than being slim. Okay? The challenge is, can you stay slim when you've got lots of money? Can you put a knife? The Bible says, got to put a knife to your throat. Amen. Okay, I'm not trying to be mean or anything. Okay, I've got a few kgs that need to go as well. All right. Thank you, wife, for not saying amen. Okay. So lack of discipline, lack of self-control will harm you. It'll harm you. Put discipline structures into your finances. Accountability with other people. Or investments and structures where you can't touch the money. It's locked up. Okay? And then get God's wisdom. Proverbs 9, verse 8. "Do not correct a scoffer, lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you." That's often a distinguishable characteristic of fools and wise, of how they handle correction. Verse 9. "Give instruction to a wise man, and he will still be wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." So I'm going to get wisdom. I'm going to implement wisdom. And sometimes God's wisdom is very counter to what I believe or to what I'm doing. I mean, this one is kind of wild. Proverbs 11:24-25, it says, "There is one who scatters, yet increases more. There is one who withholds more than is right, and it leads to poverty. A generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself." That's kind of counter logic, isn't it? That if I have a generous soul, if I'm others-minded, if I truly care, and there are fruits of my generosity, it's going to be okay with me. Amen. The world will tell you, don't do that. All right? Proverbs 4, verse 5. Proverbs 4, verse 5. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her. She will preserve you. Love her and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom. In all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her. She will promote you. Well, Pastor, I thought it was your pastoral decree that's going to promote me. No. Embrace wisdom. Make her your side chick. Amen? At all times. She will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory will she deliver to you. Now, folks, I have had to learn some financial wisdom the hard way. And I've got some bad horror stories from early in my life, early in our marriage. Some dumb ideas. But I am also thankful that through God and His mercy and an honorable wife, we didn't have to repeat too many mistakes. All right? Right? That if you've made some really bad financial decisions, you've paid a high price. So you might as well, if you paid a high price for the tuition, you might as well get the degree. You might as well learn from it and not repeat it. Okay? And sometimes we've got to look into our hearts and say, well, you know, what really drove me to do that? And it might have been walking outside of the fear of God and His ways. Amen? And folks, we live in a world, oh my. They do not, many do not do their finances this way. They do their finances by hook or by crook. Any means necessary. They've lied to so many people, they don't even know who they've lied to. That is not God's way for your life. There's wisdom, there's help. And right now, we're also in a position, and not every country can do that. There are places in this country and investment where you can actually make money. There's enough stability. Let me give you, I just heard this testimony this week. We'd had the Equip Conference a couple years ago, and Bishop Fortune Wiese from Deliverance Church had a very interesting message, but he was talking about you need to have land. You need to have land where you can have invest and where God will bless it. And it was a good word. And there was a couple, they came from Western Province, I wouldn't even say village, beyond the village, okay? Rural. And they came to the conference, and they heard that. And the pastor's wife realized, you know what? My dad gave us land, all of us kids. We're not doing anything with it. Thousands of hectares. So they began to clear it. And the husband was, I don't want to do this. I want to plant churches. And then they began to clear it. And they began to plant. It was very, very fertile ground. They began to have a harvest. From the road to where they were farming, it was a 6-hour walk. What does God bless? He bless hard work, not easy work, hard work. Well, they got a harvest, and they said, you know, we can cut down on our time if we buy a bicycle. So they bought a bicycle. So then they rode to the plot. Next harvest, they said, you know what? We can get there even faster if we replace the bicycle with a little motorcycle. You know, these little tiny motorcycles. They took the harvest, and they kept reinvesting it into the business. When they were planting, they would carry the bags. 6 hours carrying bags. Huh? Oh, Pastor, you know, the Lord opened up this job for me, but I don't think it's the Lord because I have to be there at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, that's the Lord. Okay.
So then they said, wait a second, if let's with the next harvest, and so now they have an ox cart. So they don't have to carry it. They've got an ox cart. And they keep reinvesting. He says, he's got some of his pastors say, hey, we'll give you a plot here. You can do this for you. You can do this for your church. Today, their last harvest of what they have, extra 100,000 kwacha. I'm talking rural. They didn't own a bicycle, folks. 100,000 kwacha is good anywhere. It's really good in rural Zambia.
Well, the Lord must have really done something for him.
No, they applied what we just heard today. And now here's the danger, folks. We can hear this and we say, man, Pastor, I like it. Good stuff. Well, God's word is good, isn't it? All right. But we have to apply it, don't we? And so some of you, the theme of 2024 for you is, I will beat the ant in 2024. I will shame the ants of my life and expose them. Amen? So why don't we do this? Let's pray. Because I know there are folks here today, what we just talked about, you literally have been doing this for decades. You've been doing this. Well, God wants to help you. God wants to give you more wisdom than you have today. Should you expand? Should you not? And then maybe some of you are just starting out. Maybe some of you have had some really hard situations with wisdom and money. Friend, His grace is enough. His mercy endures. You can start today with God. Father, You said about the wisdom when You spoke through James. There's a wisdom that comes from heaven that's peaceable. It's righteous. It's good. And Father, You also said that we could ask for that wisdom and You wouldn't put us down for asking and You would give liberally wisdom. Father, I pray right now for all of us, Lord, everybody in this room, Lord, we ask for wisdom for our money. God, we ask for wisdom for our family and its future. God, we ask for wisdom. And Lord, some of us received some wisdom in the home that we grew up in. God, we're thankful. I'm thankful for that. But Lord, it wasn't enough. Lord, You have plans for us. You have ways to use us, God. In Jesus' name. I want us to pray right now, and I know this seems maybe odd, and it might be somebody sitting in this room or not, but I want us to pray right now that God would give the wisdom and the insight and the help and the favor and everything. That there will be a mine that mines gold or copper or all the things we mine here that will be wholly owned by Zambians. Not the Zambian government, Zambians. And those profits will churn and stay in this country. Father, raise these people up. Raise up these men and women, God. Give them visions in the night, God. Lord, may there be testimonies, God, and partnerships, God, that will exalt You and show how good You are, God. And Lord, we know there's a history here, God. And there's a history, Father, that before independence, things were not owned by Zambians. But God, those days are over. Those days are over, God. And Lord, may You give visions, Lord. May You give wisdom. Lord, maybe even if it's a young person, God, and in 20 or 30 years, Lord, that they rise up in wisdom and in help and they have a vision to do this, God. To bless people and to bless this land, Father. How many of you can agree with that? Amen? Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank You, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I feel like the Spirit of the Lord is saying some of you have created a hole, you have created a problem, and you want to stop. Friend, you need to get accountable. You need to get accountable to a godly person. Let them know what's going on. Let them know what's happened. And I've watched God bring people out of holes, financial chasms, pits. But you need to get accountable. You need more than just you and the Holy Spirit. You need people. And nobody's looking around. Nobody's looking around. Nobody, I don't want anybody, everybody with your eyes. Who is that? Who is that? You're in a pit. God wants you to get accountable. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, I'm so proud of you. I am so proud of you. I'm so proud of you. You may already have some people, you put your hand down. You may have some people in your life that you know. If you need help from the church, we'll pray with you. We'll stand with you. There's awesome folks here. Thank you. Father, I thank you for these hands, Father. Thank you that you're a deliverer. You're a way maker. In Jesus' name. And again, with every head bowed, every head closed, if you're in this place and you say, Pastor, I don't know Jesus. I don't know Jesus. I've been trying to live on my own. I've been trying to do all of my life, money, relationships, my future. And I realize I need a Savior. I need a King over me. Oh, and He's a good God. But we do bow the knee to King Jesus. And we submit our life to Him. And we say, Jesus, forgive me. Save me. Wash me. Help me. And if you're here today and you've never done that, you can make a decision today to follow Jesus, to make Him Lord and Savior. If you're a backslidden Christian, you're far from God, come home today. Come home today. That prodigal son had ruin in his life, but there was a father who still loved him. And friend, there's a father who still loves you, no matter how far you've strayed. Come home today. So that we can pray together, if that's you, wherever you are in this auditorium, say, I need Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. I need to come home to God. Just simply lift up your hand and say, that's me. That's me. Just wave it at me so I can see it. I don't want to miss anybody. He's a good God. He's a God full of compassion, full of mercy for you. Anyone at all. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, let's all stand to our feet. Let's all stand to our feet. Before we go, there might be some situations where you need wisdom. There might be some situations where you just need somebody to pray or stand with you. Maybe there's a sickness or disease. Pastor Sammy had us trust God early in the service. But you say, I just want somebody to agree with it. That's fine. We've got our care team is up front. They'll be here as we are dismissed. And we'd love to be able to pray with you. Now, let me just ask, when we were just praying earlier in the service, as we were singing about God's power, how many of you knew that God touched your body, something that's different in your body right now? The healing power of God manifest. Yeah, thank you, over here. Anybody else? Something changed? Thank you. Would you, if that's you, would you just go to the information booth and just let them know? Give them your details, phone number, email, something like that. It blesses other people to know your testimony. It blesses us. All right. So would you do that? Would you do that? Thank you. Thank you. All right. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much. And we thank you that you loved us first. And Father, thank you that wisdom is available. Father, thank you so much that you made us with the ability, with your help, to repent, to turn. God, we don't have to stay outside of your wisdom, outside of your ways. So, Father, thank you for books and meetings with people and insight, God. Thank you for an abundance of wisdom for us, Father, in the affairs of our life and our finances, Lord, both in our business and in our home, God, that we'll walk in your ways, that we'll glorify you, Lord, and we will be a blessing to others that will simply, we wouldn't even believe if we could see it, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We love you so much. Amen.